This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility. We are happy to have them on board, making the show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
It's not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Hello.
Oh, hi, everybody. If you could only see us right now.
Oh, God.
Jamie's under a blanket and she
in my social distanced dome.
Also, we are having tech difficulties.
So many.
Unstable internet. She's now using a hotspot off her wife's phone with headphones. We're doing the best we can.
Not only that, but I have to write a poem with my daughter for her school assignment. So it's just been a crazy morning.
My daughter's doing poetry, too. And she has such a problem with, like, literal translations of things, like trying to find text evidence. I'm like, I don't know. The water's running in his veins. It's something. It's that. Just put that down.
I hate it's poetry. It's so hard. Six-year-olds in poetry. No, come on.
Let's save it for later.
I was not made to be a teacher or a stay-at-home mom.
No.
That's my learnings from coronavirus times. I shouldn't say coronavirus times. I should say from social distancing times. There's a lot of sad stuff happening. I don't want to take away from that.
I know. Well, we had one fun thing in our news item for this.
We had a fun thing we did this weekend. It was kind of out of the blue and off the cuff.
Off the cuff?
All of a sudden, Robin texts me, I'm coming over with a microphone for you. And I was like, in my head, I was like, wait a second, she can't come over. We're supposed to be social distancing. What is she talking about?
And Jamie's got the big house with the yard. So I was like, I'm coming over. I'm going to like drop the microphone at like 6 feet away from you. I'm going to throw it at you. And I brought my daughter, and my daughter was like, Mom, there's a gazebo out back. And she was like going on about their big yard. And then we sat outside 6 feet away from each other and just went like this. That's what we did. We had a cocktail.
We had a social distanced cocktail. I made sure that I washed down all surfaces, so we really didn't touch.
And then we were like panic Purelling after on the way home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I asked Anne, I said, was that a bad thing we just did? Was that a bad thing? I think it's fine. I mean, we're in week, what, 8?
Oh, my God, 800. We didn't get close, for God's sakes. We wore masks on the way over. You know, it's fine.
It's fine. And I have a really big yard at this house. It's kind of amazing. I've never lived in a house like this, ever.
I was so jealous. I was just like, there's a grill? I was like, you could be eating outside? And then the two of them kept being like, yeah, but there hasn't been nice weather, so we haven't taken advantage. And I was like, shut up with your, I haven't taken advantage of it.
It has been really cold, but I do have to say, having you come and marvel at it made me go back to appreciating it again, because I kind of got in this, like, you know, the place you get to where you're just tired of it all and oh God, the kids keep running outside and there's no gate, but you made me appreciative again.
Oh my God, I'd be in that house a second. I came home and I was telling Mary all about it. I was like, Mary, I was like, they have a grill. We would be sitting out. There's a school across the street. It's like amazing. And it's like this bucolic little street with like people were all up bike riding and walking 6 feet apart. I was like, ugh.
It's like the movies. It's like a neighborhood in the movies. I've never lived in a neighborhood.
It's like Pleasantville. It's crazy.
Right. I didn't think this really existed. It's like really, it is bucolic.
And then Orion kept calling me grandma.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
And then I started calling him grandma back and he got very confused by that. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But your grandma like, to him.
Grandma?
So. That was amazing.
Oh, God.
We got to see each other for a sec.
We sure did. That was nice because we have not seen each other since February.
We haven't seen anyone.
Well, I mean,
in person.
We've seen 8 million Zoom calls of each other, but we haven't seen one another since February.
But anywho.
Well, we have two new members to our Patreon community.
Yay,
Angela Patreon. And Jess. Thank you for joining us and welcome. And we want to tell people, if you want to join our Patreon community, right, Jamie? We got all kinds of bonus content. We're talking videos and swag. You get some swag for joining. And, well, you know, depending on the level. And, you know, just going to head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk.
Yeah, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And, you know, we're even putting up unedited ad-free videos of some of our interviews at the gestational carrier level. That's the level you're going to want to sign up for if that's what you're interested in.
I just need to tell you that I'm in my daughter's bedroom right now and I'm sweating. It is so hot in here. I just had to interject.
Well, I'm sweating
that.
In my dome. So I don't know.
This is going to be brutal this summer. All right. We'll bigger fish to fry.
Okay. Let's get to our guests.
Yes.
Let's talk about them. Ashley and Amy.
They were actually, we found them from our Patreon community.
They joined Patreon. Yeah.
And we were emailing thanks to them. And we were like, oh, tell us your story. And all of a sudden I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, you got to be on the show with this story.
So we brought them on.
Like we do.
That's how you get on this show. Just all you have to do is send us an email.
It is really true.
Probably be like, you want to come on? Come on the show.
Well, you know what? Because everyone's story is so amazing. You know, it's like there's nobody that I'm like, well, that's a dumb story. Like, it's like they're all amazing, unique and interesting stories. And it's like, I love that we just get to highlight them. And I'm glad that they joined our Patreon community and we found them. Ashley and Amy.
Yeah. And that they're willing to tell their story. Because,
I know.
You know, people are going to find it helpful, I think.
Should we have our imaginary producer, Helen, roll the tape?
Helen.
Roll the tape, Helen. Hi.
Hi. Ashley and Amy, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us. That's weird. Can we stop saying the same thing at the same time?
Thanks for video conferencing in while we all socially isolate. It's good to see you in your home.
It's the season.
It's the season.
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
Still.
Yes.
Where are you? Before we do the elevator pitch, where are you guys? Where do you live?
We live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. I think that's going to play a part in our discussion. I can't wait. Okay. All right. Let's do the elevator pitch about your family and your relationship. 30 seconds. You guys ready?
For me.
You go for it.
Ashley's starting. On your mark. Get set. Go, Ashley.
Okay. We are Ashley and Amy. We're mothers of three children, all within 3 years of each other. A blended family. I guess that's it. That's us in a nutshell.
Wow. That was like the fastest elevator pitch in the history of man, by the way. Coming in at 12 seconds. I didn't even need the clock.
I feel like there's a lot more to this story that we're gonna get into.
Well, fortunately, we have a podcast in time. So let's get into it.
Nowhere to go.
Three children. Wow.
Yes.
Within 3 years.
Yes. We had, up until this past week, we had a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, and 5-year-old. The 7 and 6-year-old just turned 7 and 8 within 5 days of each other.
Wow.
So. That's like my house. My daughter just turned 11, and in a week and a half, my son's going to turn 9.
You guys seem so young to have three children. You just look very young. That's a compliment.
Thank you.
Three children.
I did have them when I was 25. So I was definitely
much young by today's standards.
So
yeah, for sure.
So Ashley, you had all three?
I did.
Okay, so let's delve in here. How did that all happen?
Well, I was married previously.
To a man?
To a man. Oh. And I had my oldest. I was 3 months pregnant when I found out, or 3 months after she was born when I found out I was pregnant with my son.
Wow. Yes. Oh. How did that feel? What is that like? Was it a happy?
I mean, it feels how you would imagine. I don't know. Yes, it got to happy. There were a lot of feelings around it. He was, I don't know how old he was when I got pregnant with the youngest, but the older two were still 1 and 2 when she was born.
Wow.
Wow.
And then, yeah.
So everybody was in diapers. Everybody.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. 3 under 3 for a while.
How'd that go?
It was a blur. It's a blur.
You would, like nurse both at the same time?
Yeah, I did the whole, like, tandem.
And bathe the other one.
It was just a blur.
You have and Irish I was, triplets, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And I was a single mom starting, like, 2 or 3 months after my youngest was born, so.
Oh, so what happened? Take us through that.
It was just a very bad marriage relationship. I got pregnant, you know, and then I was like, well, let's do the right thing here. Mm. I live in the South and grew up in a pretty religious family. So I did that whole song and dance where I did the right thing. And I think probably some of it also stemmed from, you know, I grew up for a little bit without a dad. So I was like, let me do right by my kid. I didn't know if she was a boy or a girl at the time. It was just a thing that never should have been for a lot of reasons. Yeah. And then it was, and then it wasn't. And I mean, that's the long and short of it, but.
Did you know you were gay? I mean, I don't know if you use the word gay or phrase gay, but like, did you know you were maybe wanted to be with Amy?
I didn't, I guess, honestly, by the time I got married and I was pregnant and then I had my daughter shortly after, there wasn't a lot of time for like introspection or reflection of any kind, if that makes
sense. Or breathing.
Yeah, right. I think prior to getting married, yeah, like I always knew on some level.
Did you do experimenting in high school like some of sure.
the- Yeah, right, in college.
College, yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
You're with that friend, right? Yeah.
But it, you know, it was like, just, I don't know. It was just one of those things you kind of do. I mean, I hate to say this, but I guess just like mindlessly, like on autopilot, it's like, you know, you get pregnant, you get married, you live the American dream.
You followed the set mold that was kind of just right. handed yeah. down to you, basically.
Absolutely. And then
did the religion stuff have to do with that as well, you think?
Yeah, in the beginning, for sure, it did. And then it was like, my kid's father was a person who, like, you know, everybody in the church was like, oh, you're so lucky. Like, I got really tired of hearing how lucky I was. Like,
yeah,
it was yeah. just like, you're so lucky. This is so great. And I mean, this is something I've done a really good job since the divorce of not talking about because of how it will affect my kids, but it was a very abusive and like not good situation and relationship. Mm. So I turned out to not be as lucky as everyone had thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it was just one of those things that's like, oh, like everyone's telling me, like people who I've known my whole life, trusted my whole life, everyone's telling me this is a really good thing. So I should feel like this is a really good thing, but you know, that's not how I felt.
No, well, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's awful.
Thank you. Sorry. I mean,
so how did you all meet? I mean, it's a right turn, but you know, I don't want to get too into the past.
We
of that.
Had known each other as acquaintances. Do you want to talk some on this one?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I was previously married, and we
also to a man.
No, to a woman.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Important and detail.
So you knew you were gay.
Yeah. A woman who I grew up with.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. So through my ex-wife, I had met Ashley we were just friends for many years, I guess.
Yeah, I would say like acquaintances, because again, see the part where I had three kids under three and was, you know, a little preoccupied. Busy. Right. Yeah. But the whole messy part of all this, her ex-wife was part of this whole friend group that I grew up with at the church that I went to. And like, so we would get together at least once a year, this whole group of friends. And that's probably pretty much the only time that you and I would have interacted at that point.
I mean, my ex-wife, that was my only relationship. I came out maybe just a couple years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. And she was my only relationship. I always kind of felt like I was an ugly duckling my entire life. And then I always knew I was gay, and I grew up in a religious house, and I just thought that she was the only person that would ever like me. And so got married, and just, it wasn't good. It was a very controlling and manipulative relationship, and it just needed to end. And so we got a divorce, and
that's a neat and tidy
very
package to put on that. Yeah.
Can I ask, how long were you guys married?
We were together maybe like 4 or 5 years, but we were only married for about a year.
Okay. So you said you came out 4 years ago. You meant you had come out 4 years before you...
So I actually came... I mean, it was like a secret that I was dating my ex-wife for like 2 years into our... or a year and a half into our relationship.
Wow.
No good comes from that, but yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a substantial age gap there as well.
Yeah, there's an 8-year difference. Mm.
Between you and your ex?
Yes.
Okay.
So then it just was like a thing where I wasn't really around that group too much because I didn't have the time to be. And then, like one night I was like hanging around that group again. I was like one of those freak accidents where you get a night to yourself as a single parent. So I was out with them, and there was just like, everyone was like, oh, you know, have you heard about what's going on?
Yeah, I was basically in a separation period.
And I didn't know that was a thing that was happening because I was out of the loop. We started talking a lot that night, and it just became more of a thing from there, I guess.
And then it became a thing. That's it.
Yeah. There was a thing going on with her and someone else.
Oh. That was a really from that awesome person.
group. So it was like, so basically the way I came into all of this was kind of just like talking to her about how her ex-wife was, and it was similar in a lot of ways to my ex-husband, and we just were talking about it. And then she started telling me about, you know, like what was going on with this other person and how it had been going on for a few months, and it had, like, her marriage was over because of it, and she was just trying to figure out how to end it and what to do and how to move forward out of it. But it got really messy, and so she needed a place to stay. She, you know, it ended up I was like, well, you can just like stay. Like, I have an extra room, some space. You can stay there for like until you get your own place. And so that happened, and she got her own place, and everything was like normal again. But anyway, my sister-in-law was like the only one I'd really been talking to through the whole process of us kind of like moving towards something more than friends. And she was like, well, when are you going to tell your family? You got to talk to your parents about it. You know, you got to talk to people about it. And I was like, I think I'm going to do it right now. And she's like laughing. And I was like, no, I'm, yeah, like right now. And she's like, well, you're just going to call? I'm like, yeah. So that's what I did. I like hung up with her, and I just started calling people and was like, you know, I mean, they knew, my family and my friends like knew of Amy because, again, of her previous marriage and like being part of a group that we were in. So I was just like, you guys.
I still can't believe you did that. Like, my coming out process was, I wrote like a 5-page single space, like process, like, of how I reconciled my faith with my sexuality, and just in multiple emails with my mom about like how I can be a Christian and be gay. And,
yeah, I was just like, here it is, deal with it.
Yeah. I was like, what?
So what did you?
Like, I had to make an elaborate Facebook post, and I had a panic attack with the whole thing. And she's just like, hey, I'm gay. I'm like, what?
So Ashley, what'd you say? You called?
Basically, there were a lot of rumors flying around in this whole time period, and it kind of ended up getting just like all convoluted to this like big rumor that like Ashley is this homewrecker who destroyed Amy's marriage, and like. That's the story floating around. So I called my parents. I have a brother who's 13 months older than I am. And he's part of that friend group because we grew up with the same friends. And so he knew all these people very well as well. So I called them first, my older brother and my parents, and I was like, hey, you guys are going to be hearing some stories, because at this point I was teaching at the church that this whole group originates from, teaching at the school associated with this church. You know, her ex-wife was making threats that she was going to call the leadership of the church and have me fired, which is cool. I was the sole source of income for my three kids. But so I was like, I'm just done with, like, I'm not a person who keeps secrets. So I called my parents and I was like, hey, you guys are going to start hearing some stories. And it's like partially true and partially not. The part of the story that is true is that Amy and I have been spending more time together and developed some feelings that are more than friendship, and we're just seeing where it goes. And that was pretty much it. That's what I told
them. Your parents were going to hear through the grapevine. This is a very tight-knit community. Like, my parents would never hear through the grapevine from my friends.
It's a very tight-knit's one word. You could say like enmeshed, codependent. You could say a lot of words. It's a small town. It's a church that's like a small town. And
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Jamie.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and when you know more, you can make better decisions for your body, your health, your future. Yeah.
It's true, Jamie. What is this, life lessons with Jamie?
Take it easy, lady. I have a point.
Okay.
And that point has to do with fertility, which is very fitting. Because listen, there aren't many decisions bigger than having a child, but for many of us, especially those of us in the LGBTQ community, fertility is a big question mark.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going here. Mm-hmm. Modern fertility, right? Mm-hmm. The easy and affordable way to test fertility hormones at home with something as simple as a finger prick.
It's great.
You mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get personalized results within 10 days.
I love me some modern fertility. And I really do wish it had existed when I was trying.
Mm.
So here's what happens. With modern fertility, you get insight into how many eggs you have, which is important. You get your hormone levels. You get any reproductive red flags, which is really important. And the results go in depth into what every hormone means. And then you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and get your options for your next steps.
Oh, I know you know this, but traditional testing, I got to say it anyway, it can cost over $1,000 with a doctor, traditional testing. But modern fertility costs only $159, and you're going to get the same information. And, oh, guess what? If you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you can get $20 off your test.
It's amazing.
Ooh, the deal.
And you can use your HSA or FSA dollars on modern fertility, which is great. So listen, guys, if you want kids today or maybe one day, which why would you be listening to this podcast if not?
Because they love us.
You need information to make the decision that's best for you.
That's right. So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
True that. You can get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Do it now. Modernfertility.com/OCT.
Do it.
How soon did you, like, you see, you have the three kids, and how old are the kids at this point?
Two. My youngest was about to turn three. So that would have put the other two at about to turn five and about to turn six. So four and five. Well, three, four and five, pretty much by the time it really became like a thing, three, four, and five. Yeah.
And how was it, like, you know, because you hear various people talking about how they start dating with kids. Like, did you come in right away into the family, or how did you all navigate that?
So by that point, I hadn't dated anyone in 3 years since my divorce.
You were busy. You were really busy.
And also, it was a bad relationship you were in.
I was in therapy for a long time, and my kids were in therapy, and it was something I was very deliberate about and cautious about and just wanted to handle it. I didn't want to put my kids through anything else. Or myself. So I think it just kind of started as like a thing where, you know, we were figuring out what it was going to be. We were figuring out what we both wanted it to be. And I made her, you know, be very deliberate about it as well. Like, I had no problem saying, like, you know, you need to think if this is what you really want. Like, this is what it would look like. Like, this is what I want. This is what they need. This is like what we've been through. Like, just really, we had a lot of really deliberate talks before we ever talked to the kids. They're always way better with things than you think they're going to be, I feel like, or at least mine are.
Kids are so resilient. They're so resilient.
Absolutely. And I think it was probably the hardest part for me to reconcile. Not like I didn't have issues with like the faith part or anything like that. I had issues with people who, there were several people who I knew within that community who had been married and divorced and had kids and then got remarried to a man. And everyone's like, oh, like, you know, like these posts, like this is what, like God finally sent me what I've been waiting for. Right, and, right. You know, blah, blah, blah. And then Amy comes into our lives and was a really good thing for me and my kids. And everyone's like, what about your kids? Like, what are you doing to your kids? Wow. You know, and what are the, and like, to me, like, in what world is bringing in another like loving parent who wants, who's committed and wants to be there
a bad thing? Right.
Right. But I got a lot.
You're
of
like,
that.
Where's God's plan now?
Well, I want to take it back to the conversation you had with your parents when you told them, when you came out to them, essentially, what did they say?
We need time and space. And then I didn't hear from them for a long time.
Wow.
And I had to reach back out to them. And it was a big thing for a long time.
So you didn't hear from them and they didn't see your kids?
Yeah, no. And it was right around my youngest had just had a birthday in February, which meant, you know, my older two's birthdays were coming up. And it was just like, they'd just been a big part of my kids' lives until that point. It was a lot of just like what I can't stand, which is kind of like beating around the bush. Like they were just like, you know, we don't have a problem. Like they, a lot of,
like
I think,
implied.
Yeah. And also something that drove me crazy about this whole particular thing was that people were able to conveniently use the excuse of like, well, you know, you guys started something when Amy was still married and that's wrong. And that was kind of like covering the homophobia underneath.
Yeah.
That was kind of their like crutch to lean on to disguise that.
Sure.
What was actually going on. And I, like I said, I'm a super direct person and I can't stand it. And so I was just like, you know, I see what you guys are doing, because there were a lot of little things, just like we had these family nights that was with my extended family. My dad's family is Italian. So have this big, like, you know, family dinner. And slowly we would be like, not uninvited. Nothing was ever direct. We weren't uninvited. We were just like, it was just like, you know, like I didn't get the text of like, hey, we'll be here tonight at 7. Come on. Like just slowly things were just like, you know, we were being left out of things. When Amy would come around, we were being left out of pictures, or we were being just like, you know, just things were obvious, but not said.
Right. And sure. That's something you can't really push back against if
right.
People aren't.
Well, I did.
Yeah, good for you.
It was a process. It was definitely a very long process, even up until our wedding, where it was just like, oh, we can't make it to the wedding. We don't have like the, you know, we don't have the money for a flight, or we don't. And so then my brother was like, oh, I'll buy you guys a ticket. And then it was still kind of like, well, we'll see if we can get the time off work. Like it just was just kind of like, you know, and I reached a point where I was like, I'm done, because that's how I get. Like, I'm not going to, if you guys don't want to be part of it, then don't be. But then I guess for my kids, I kind of came to a place where like they've lost a lot of people in their lives who they've cared about. And I didn't want to give them more loss if my parents could get on board. I wanted to just like talk directly with them about it and get to a place where they could hopefully still, you know, be in my kids' lives. And so we've gotten there.
You got there.
Do you still feel an undercurrent of it today, or is it better?
I think it's better for the most part. Like there was a point where, you know, my mom was just like, well, I'm just trying to protect you. Like finally, when I pushed her to the point of like, you did this, you did this, you did this. Like, there's no, like, how are you going to tell me that that's not, like, you don't have a problem? And she was like, well, the fact is like 75% of our family has a problem with it. So I'm just trying to protect you from those 75%. And I'm like, well, that, to me, that doesn't feel like protection. Right. To me, like, if you're protecting me, like, you know, you're inviting me to Thanksgiving and telling the rest of the family to deal with it.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you're standing up for me.
Right. And so we had that conversation. And since then, it's been, I'd say they've made efforts.
Yeah.
They came to the wedding.
They did.
That's a step in the right direction.
That's something.
Right.
That's hard, though. That's hard. My mother-in-law has this tight group of friends that she's known since she was like a schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were planning our wedding, and my wife asked her, so do you want me to send invitations to the girls? Why would you do that? Why? Right. You know, like,
right. Let's keep this like hidden as possible.
Let's keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like that kind of thing, which is, it's not blatantly homophobic.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like, And in this like time of social media, which my parents are actually more active on than I am, I would say, it's like little things. It's like they never made a post about it, and they've made a, they make posts about everything. You know, like they're at the wedding, but they never posted a picture or like made a thing. It's just these. It's just those little things that like let you know. Like, but it's one of those like choose your battle things. It's like, am I gonna like jump down their throats every time they do something like that? No. Like,
well, it's their own internal shame, and they're gonna get there when they get there. Unfortunately.
I do want to say, because I know Anne's going to listen to this episode, I do want to say her mother came around and she did say after the wedding that was the most beautiful wedding she'd ever attended.
Right.
And she wished she had invited her friends. I want to put that out there because her mother is wonderful.
But it's like, but that's proving it though. It's like they need time. Like for it's in the same way we need time, sometimes getting comfortable with ourselves. Right. They need more because they're not in it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I had to be cognizant of was, you know, they said to me that they needed time because this was all new to them. And I had to think, you know, this isn't new to me. Like, this is always something I've known on some level or thought about on some level, but I never brought them into that. Yeah. It is a thing that people have to wrap their heads around.
Amy, how was it for you to all of a sudden be like, do you call yourself a step parent or what? Like all of a sudden you're a parent of three children.
Yeah. The kids don't call me like their stepmom. I'm just like their other mom.
Yeah. We'll just be randomly somewhere. Like actually the older two had checkups today. My youngest just loves to just blurt out, we have two moms. Like it's not like obvious to the person in the room.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So when I was dating Ashley, and I mean, we'd always talked about like that. I like wanted to be a mom. I wanted to have kids. And like before we had ever dated, I didn't know like that could be a possibility for me. I wasn't making a lot of money. So it was just like a,
expensive.
if I'm gay, like it's going to be expensive to have a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that I was parented as a kid, it was just like your very traditional conservative Christian way of parenting. And
I don't parent that way.
Yeah. She doesn't parent that way. So it was, everything is very new and where you actually treat kids as real people and
figure. Just meant to be seen and not heard.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm 28. So like, I mean, we were 26. I was 26 when we started dating and definitely like people are like, how did you do it? I'm like, I don't know. I just watched her, how she parented. And
I mean, yeah, I guess that's her giving the modest version of it. She has put in some work of really like trying to figure out, you know, not just like mimicking me, but figuring out why I parent the way I do. When my kids were little, I did a lot of attachment parenting type of stuff with them. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, I mean, even I have to parent against the way, not that there's like anything wrong with the way I was parented or my parent. I'm a believer in that people do the best they can with what they have at the time. So like, you know, it's just trying to be like more aware of why I'm parenting the way I am or how I'm parenting. And we work opposite shifts. She's a bartender who works at night. I'm in early childhood education and work during the day. So she is home with the youngest during the day. And then now with quarantine, we're all home. But for a while I was still working. So she was home with all three of them. You know, it would just be like her saying, how would you handle this that's happening? Or how should I handle this? And so without trying to be like, here's all this, go read it. Like I would like refer her to just different resources, like podcasts or articles or things like that. And, you know,
yeah,
she was really quick to want to read them and get on board and figure it out for herself.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Amy, you just dove right in.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Every day it's like, how do I tell like one kid to stop like
drinking milk out of a bowl by the back door like a cat?
Yeah.
You just let that one go.
Like,
that's what I tell them. Like some things you gotta, that's like,
okay.
That's,
do I smile and just walk away?
Yeah, like, that's okay.
That's like, you just do one of those like, really? And then you just keep moving.
Yep, you do, especially with our youngest.
As long as they're not gonna pick it up and throw it, you're good. Right. You're good.
Yeah.
Right. That's
your youngest sounds spunky.
She is. Yeah. I turned on the oven the other night and there was this horrible smell coming from it. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening?
Uh-oh.
And she's like, oh, mommy, remember when we were playing that game? I hid the slime in the oven and I never told you. Oh, I see that now. So
there's a lot of slime making.
God, I hate slime.
I hate slime.
I hate slime so much.
I hate it. I don't do slime. She does slime. Ugh. She's the fun. That's how it became though. Here's the thing. She became the fun parent. Right. And now I'm the mean parent.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I just say yes to everything. I'm just like, yeah, you want to fill the entire room with shaving cream? That's
oh my God.
But the good part is she'll still clean it up and she'll do it. So I'm like, sure, if you want to do that, go ahead.
But isn't that the beauty of our relationships, our out of the box, non-traditional relationships?
Yeah.
Ashley, you are parenting in a completely different style than you were parented. And I think a large part of that is due to the fact that you're living a totally non-traditional life, and you're thinking out of the box and you're parenting out of the box. And
I agree. You know, it is. Yeah. It's like even going into our wedding, it was like, she had these ideas and I'm like, why would we do that? why are we doing that?
You question everything all of a sudden. Yes, like, why are we going to have my uncle say a speech? And I don't even, you know, like all these
things. Your dad going to walk you down the aisle to give you to me like livestock property or something? Right? I don't think we should do that.
This year, cow's got a lot of years in her.
Right. I don't know. It's been really good for my kids. Like like I said, it's like having another parent who's committed and like loving and wants to be there and wants to give their best is never a bad thing. And I think it's given my kids a lot more confidence in a way, because before it was just like, they were so attached to me because like I was their anchor. I was like the person who hadn't let them down and wasn't going anywhere. And it was a lot. It was a lot for all of us. And I think it was really good for them to see they can trust other adults. Right. They can trust other parents. They can trust other people and have someone who wants to be there and wants to give that to them. And it's really made them a lot more secure.
Mm. Wow. I feel like you both took bad situations and look what you found each other. I love that.
I want to know, so are you still in the same tight-knit community, if we want to call it that, that you're still there, right? You're still with this.
We've been exiled.
So that's what I want to know. I want to know how it's going down.
Yeah. So for me, those were friends I'd had my whole life. And so for me to just kind of be like, yeah, this is what this is, and to talk to everyone about it and to like move forward with it, was knowing that like those friendships would be not really be a thing anymore.
Mm. It's just sad to hear that even in this day and age, 2020, there are people losing friendships,
willing
over
to lose friendships.
As silly as this. I mean, this is not silly, but you know what I mean.
No, right. Yeah, it is. It's a weird hill to die on, I guess. But if you want to,
then. I know. And you guys are in Nashville, right?
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's a blue dot in a red state, but it's still a red state, and it's still, you know, they don't call it the Bible Belt for nothing. You know, we've been intentional about trying to keep the kids in communities that aren't going to be problematic. So the school they were in before quarantine happened was a good environment for them. But like I said, they've always just been really like really great about it, like really like proud about it and happy about it. We do these like conversation starters at dinner sometimes. And so one of the conversation starters was like, what's your favorite holiday? And so, you know, our youngest, the eccentric one, she's like, Halloween, because she loves all things creepy and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the oldest is like, Christmas. And our son was like, my favorite holiday is the Rainbow Parade Day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they've all just been like really good with it. And like, they haven't had an issue. I mean, I don't feel like we're keeping them in a bubble.
Is your ex still in the picture as dad?
So, sort of. He wasn't for a long, long time. And then he since has remarried very recently and has made more of an attempt, I guess you would say.
Oh.
My son wants nothing to do with him. He hasn't seen him in like over a year. He just opts out of going, and it's just not a thing. My youngest very rarely goes because she honestly never really knew a life with him in it. So it wasn't a huge loss to her. And she's just an opportunist. So she's like, are we going to Chuck E. Cheese? Because if yes, I'm there. If not, like, I'm going to stay home. And then my oldest she still tries really hard with him. He doesn't try so hard with her. He was very hung up on his relationship with a son. But they couldn't be more opposite. Like, he's very much like, you know, sports and like all man kind of thing. And my son is like, Rainbow Parade Day is my favorite. You know, that kind of stuff. So they just don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. My son is very sensitive, and he doesn't like anything violent or like anything scary. Like, he hates sports because he says, if I played football, I'd just give the ball to the other team and just say, here you go, you can score. Like, yeah, I know.
That's why
you'll never. Right. So he's like a pacifist. It's not a relationship that would come easily to either one of them, and neither one of them want to put in the work, really. So it just is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
I think like gay or straight, like divorce is hard. It just yeah, is.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, my sexuality never played a factor in our divorce. It wasn't a thing until 3 years after. And then he didn't have anything to say about it except for like some crass comment of like, well, if you're women now, can I join in? Just like something disgusting like that.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like that was the only, that was the extent of that conversation really.
Yeah. But you brought this wonderful, loving second mother into these children's lives.
Yes.
They're happy.
I'm so glad that you reached out to us and joined our Patreon community and then like reached out because I was like, oh my God, be on the podcast too.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you did because it's like, this is such a great story.
You know, it's funny because we live in the New York bubble where we don't see, it's not that we don't see homophobia. I guess you see it, but
I just don't think it's in our day to day in the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also situational because she's from California, like the Los Angeles area.
Oh, I'm from San Francisco.
And I mean, I was born in Seattle, but have lived here most of my life. And my brother and sister-in-law in Seattle, they're surrounded by tons of gay people. But where she grew up in California, she also grew up in a very religious household in a small, tight-knit religious community. So it was very similar to my upbringing here. Mm. So yeah. I think
you guys were destined to find one another, it feels like.
We like to think so.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you guys for wanting to hear our story.
Of course.
Yeah, this was an important podcast to me listening to actually through everything, all the questioning people were doing of me of like, what about the kids? And I was like, yeah, what about my kids? Should I be worried? You know, like I started to second guess myself for a minute.
Yeah.
And then I just went looking for any material I could find that was just going to like tell me my kids were going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then I started listening and I'm like, yeah, like I have a better chance of ruining them just because of who I am as a person than
you were like, I know Jamie and Robin are going to ruin their kids, but it's because they're idiots.
It's not because they're gay. No, that makes me really happy though. I'm actually like crying a little bit on the
end. It was helpful. And I, you know, that's why I started, you know, donating to the podcast because I'm like, this is something that got me through a time when I needed it. And if there's other people, there's bound to be other people out there who are going to need to hear the same stuff. So this is an important thing.
Ugh, I love that. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I love those two.
I did too. I'm so glad they found each other, right?
Yeah, and they're making it work.
I know. It seems like they both just had like a really tough road and it's so nice that they found each other.
Mm-hmm.
I love when that happens.
Puzzle pieces connecting.
Any other euphemisms or phrases?
Trying to think of more, but I don't have any more. Love those ladies.
Well, everyone, thanks for joining us. Let's keep the conversation going. You want to join us on the social?
Yeah. Join us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries_Talk on Insta, If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook. And you can also join our private community there and you can talk to other listeners, which is fun. You can also join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk for bonus content. And now you can also subscribe to us on YouTube to catch up on our Ovaries Talk live streams that we do every Wednesday and Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
Join the 9 other YouTube subscribers. We're up from 8, Jamie.
We're moving on up to video.
It's so just
you guys
huge.
Get to see our faces. I don't know who would want that, but you're going to see them if you want.
I know right now you'd see me with my sleeves rolled up because I'm sweating.
We look pretty crappy right now.
Thank you to our sponsor, Modern Fertility, for helping us make this show possible. We really, really, really appreciate you.
Yes, we do. And for all of you out there, social distancing, keeping your space, stay healthy, stay sane, stay away from everyone, wash your hands, don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face!
Don't touch your face.
And thank you for putting up with our sound issues. It's going to get better soon.
When we can get back together, we're going to be back to our beautiful,
reunited,
lovely, perfect.
And it feels so good.
Go for it, Robin. Go.
That was it. That's all I had.
That was great.
I don't think it was. It was nice of you to say that, though, Jamie. Let's wrap this up.
All right.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry, deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.